If you've earned your developer stripes within the last 10 years or so, you should probably know who Barry Bird is. Barry Bird is the author of Java for Dummies and Beginning Programming for Dummies, which, in my opinion, is the best book out there for the uninitiated to learn how to program and how to learn to program in Java. Now, Barry, on the other hand, might suggest that he should be known for his books on Android. So, Android for Dummies is a constant bestseller, which is constantly being updated. Barry's also been doing some work for the server side lately, contributing a couple of articles about some of the conferences that he's attended, including Google I.O. But he's also been writing some articles about Solve for X, a project that's evolved through the ranks of Google to try and get people to come up with interesting and compelling solutions to the world's problems. And who doesn't like solving the world's problems? Now, my description of Solve for X doesn't really do the program justice, which is why I'm going to throw it over to Barry. So, Barry, what is Solve for X?
Solve for X is a program that Google started a few years ago. The idea is to bring people with big ideas to the forefront. And by big ideas, a big idea in the Solve for X terminology is called a moonshot.
So I'm guessing that the term moonshot harks back to Kennedy's attempt to put a man on the moon. In terms of Solve for X, what exactly is this thing you call a moonshot?
There are three components to a moonshot, what they call a moonshot. It's a grand problem, a world-class problem, and the second component is a proposed radical solution, possibly radical solution, and the third component is some kind of technology involved in the solution. So the idea of Solve for X is it's a program where ideas with those three components get ongoing visibility through Google. Okay? They've done this for a few years. I don't know exactly how long. It started maybe in 2011, and it was done by some folks at Google, some employees of Google. It was done with their 20% time. So they have a number of people that they found who are moonshot worthy, and they call these people pioneers, and these people are featured on the Solve for X website.
And how is this year different when it comes to Solve for X?
This year, for the first time, the folks at Google are looking for pioneers not only from their own offices, they're not only supervising the program themselves, but they also created about 12 different satellite programs to look for and to sift through and to find candidates for being pioneers. And one of those satellites was the one that I live closest to, which was the Northern New Jersey Google Developer Group.
So Northern New Jersey obviously works for you. Where are the other satellites?
There were two such places in the United States, Northern New Jersey Google Developer Group, and a group at MIT whose region for finding pioneers happens to be in California for some reason. I don't know why. We haven't figured out yet why the MIT group's region is in California, but okay. Right? Two groups in the United States who were in charge of looking for potential pioneers, and 10 around the world, 10 such people around the world, 10 such groups around the world. So this year, for the first time, these 12 groups went ahead and looked for pioneers. The group in Northern New Jersey, the one that I'm associated with, decided to do it in stages with preliminary talks. They had a talk at Stevens Institute of Technology, one in at MIT, another one in New York City, and with these preliminary talks, they were getting potential pioneers to describe their ideas in hopes of finding the four finalists. The four finalists are the people that they announced at Rutgers last week.
So how does Barry Bird fit into the equation? Are you a pioneer? Are you an advocate? Are you on the payroll? Are you an observer? How do you fit into the equation?
I'm an observer. I am a resource person for the Northern New Jersey Google Developer Group. And I'm not an official resource person. I'm just a person who's who loves to bring their group to the Drew University campus. We have space here for the meetings, and I also love it because that way we get to expose our students to some of these techie ideas. So I help the Google Developer Group when I can, the local Google Developer Group. I also, since I happen to be at their meetings, decided, hey, this is a great thing for the rest of the world to know, so I wrote some articles about it.
So you keep talking about moonshots. Why don't you tell me about one of the moonshots that caught your interest, whether it's a winning moonshot or just one that you thought really exemplified the whole program?
One of the moonshots that was a winning moonshot, one of the four winners, is one that I described in my article, the notion of a new way of filtering water. So here's the idea. The usual way of filtering water in order to get purified water for fracking is to use ceramics. You take a bunch of ceramic particles, you smoosh them together, and that's a technical term that I just made up, the term smoosh. You smoosh them together, and what's left are particles and holes, and the water can travel through the holes, and the holes are small enough so that it captures many of the particles that are going through, therefore purifying the water. Well, this is fine, except that the holes are on the scale of, I believe, a nanometer wide. So any particulate matter that's smaller than a nanometer wide goes right through these holes and comes out in the water that's supposed to be purified, so it's not as purified as it could be. All right? So with this moonshot, with this winning moonshot, the idea was, hey, let's not take a bunch of ceramic particles and smoosh them together. Instead, let's start with an amorphous ceramic material and mix it with, of all things, DNA, strands of DNA. Okay, now what you've got is strands of DNA going through the ceramic smoosh. Okay, the ceramic smoosh hardens. Now you've got strands of DNA going through it. You heat the DNA, you heat the whole thing. And by the way, I might be getting some of this wrong, but this is what I understand. You heat it up, and when you heat it up, the DNA evaporates, leaving only very straight holes through the ceramic material. Those holes are less than a nanometer wide, so that particulate matter that's less than a nanometer wide doesn't get to go through those holes, but the water still does. All right? So in other words, what you're doing is you're filtering, and now you have smaller holes, so you're getting rid of more particulate matter. And, I mean, this blows me away because of all the things that you'd think of using DNA for, this is not one of them that would come to my mind first. The DNA apparently has very nice properties because it replicates itself, so you can get more and more of it. It's straight rather than coiled, which is what many strands of material would be. And apparently the DNA reacts with the ceramic material in a way that's advantageous also. So this filtering mechanism is one of the four winners, the four pioneers that I reported on at the Rutgers event on February 2nd.
So in your articles that you published on the server side, you talked about a few other moonshots that captured your attention. So the one that we just discussed about water is pretty fascinating. Maybe you could give us an idea of a couple of the other ones that caught your attention.
So one of them was somebody who promises 99% compression through algorithms that were created with a neural net. Now, that kind of compression is a holy grail of computing. If you can get compression, and he says it's lossless compression. So he can take a video, for instance, a two-hour movie and send it to your home in seconds. I'm still trying to get to see this with my own eyes so that I can believe it. But if he can actually do this, this is not only a fantastic improvement over the kinds of algorithms that are being used, it's also a proof of it's also reality mimicking art, because I don't know if you've seen it. There's a TV comedy on HBO called Silicon Valley, where some really clever geeks are doing the same thing, and the comedy series is based on that idea. So this catches my attention right away.
Now, that type of compression sounds almost outlandish to me. I would imagine that if somebody could bring together an algorithm like that, they'd win a Nobel Peace Prize.
I hope he can do it, because it's exciting to think about. What I was talking with people at the meeting where we were discussing this after he announced this possibility, and someone proposed that this may even be beyond the theoretical limit for compression. But I'll have to meet with this guy and talk about it.
Now, that's two moonshots you've discussed. Do you got a third in you?
Yeah, my third is not representative of the kinds of proposed moonshots that I saw at the Sol4X meetings. My third, and maybe one of my favorites, is one that is about physics and the theory of everything. So one of the people came and presented, and he said, we can solve many of the problems in physics if we imagine, and I'm going to get this wrong as I talk about it, if we imagine that the universe is surrounded by a layer of antimatter particles, I think the layer is as thick as a pion, and that this layer of antimatter particles causes anti-gravity, negative gravity, and that the negative gravity then can explain black body radiation, because it can involve, because it can explain radiation being pulled from all sides away from any object in the universe. All right? I just love this kind of armchair physics stuff, so I really appreciated hearing this. It's not the kind of thing that typically goes at a Sol4X meeting, because it's less entrepreneurial. It's less solving a big world problem type idea, but I just enjoy, what I enjoy is the fact that people, even us amateurs and us people who aren't real physicists, are thinking about such issues and concerned about such issues and are just willing to talk about such things. I love it.
So once all of these proposals come in, how do they decide and choose a winner?
I think it's just a matter of the people at the local Google developer group talking with the people who are in charge at Google and coming to a consensus that way. There was a panel of judges at each of the meetings, but the panel of judges was less to make judgments than it was to just comment and ask questions. They were called scholars, and I wrote about that at the in the third article. The idea was, have a bunch of people there who can listen to the presentation, listen to the pitch, and make comments on it afterwards and ask questions. And the first time I went to one of these Sol4X preliminary meetings, I expected the scholars to caucus at the end and say, and the winner among these four is, but it didn't work that way. It was more just a matter of Todd and the other people associated with Northern New Jersey Google Developer Group discussing and thinking about and talking over with the people at Google Central, and coming up with some sort of a consensus about who gets to join the program.
So where do things go from here?
So now the four finalists, the four pioneers, get their projects displayed on the Google Sol4X site, along with those finalists from the other 12 satellite programs around the world. And I guess the mantra that I heard about the Sol4X program was that the finalists, the pioneers in the program, get everything except funding from Google. So what they get is the name recognition, the support. Most of these people are in the middle of pretty ambitious projects that require funding, and the stamp of approval from Google and the name recognition that they get for being on the Google Solve for X site will help them along in their pitches for funding with potential backers.
Potential backers. That's probably a pretty good place to conclude the conversation. After all, none of this will come to fruition if we don't actually have people who will back these projects and make them a reality. So we've had some pretty great suggestions for 2015. Here's looking forward to 2016 and beyond, where we can get even better ideas and hopefully come one step closer to solving some of the world's really big problems.